Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here, Hardly Initiated, live with my co-host, Ryan Catchings.
Look, we got somebody. He's back, and he brought a friend, so
yes,
it's about to be crazy.
You guys know this brother right here, because he came up and flamed up the set. So today, we invited this brother back for another edition, but not only did he come back, yeah. He brought the wife.
Yeah. The wifey. Yeah.
I brought my rib. My
he rod, brought the rib.
My rock. Yeah, my rib, my rider, and my rock.
Okay.
The
yeah.
rib, the rider, and the rock yeah. is in the building. Y'all already know. My bad, y'all. Hold on, wait. What's going on, Amy? Hold on. Hold on, wait. We got something going on here. We got to mute this joint. That's you?
Bad. Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
Turn the sounds off. Let me introduce this brother. We in here rocking. Y'all already know him. Pastor James Edwards and Mrs. and Mr. Edwards in the building. Welcome yeah. to Hardly Initiated Live.
Thank you all for having us.
Yeah, thank Absolutely. You for having us. Like I said, I brought my rib, my rider, and my rock. There is no me without you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that. I like it.
Well, we had to have you because yeah. apparently you are one of the advocates for Hardly Initiated.
Absolutely.
And you was the first to introduce Pastor James to our platform.
Yes, that's correct. I love to be able to hear a man's perspective. And so that's where when I saw what you all were doing, I told my husband, yeah, you need to get a part of this. Like this is where it is. So yeah, absolutely.
I like that. We're appreciative of that.
And when I was talking, because I mean, first of all, y'all have been speaking so much about the episode. If y'all have not seen the episode that Pastor James Edwards did on Soul Ties a few weeks ago, you got to make sure right after this episode, automatic must watch. People still commenting and talking wow. about how it affected their lives even up until this day. And you told me you had something else in the bag special for the yeah. people, y'all.
Yeah.
So we talking about this and I got so excited because he said that him and his wife put together the 7 core values that every relationship needs. And as soon as he said that, I instantly knew we needed this on the platform. Mm. So thank you guys for yeah. coming here today to bless the people. But before we get into the blessing, Ryan, talk to the people. Tell the people we got coming for them in this show here today.
So it's a couple things I really want to share with y'all, but I actually didn't talk to Tyshawn about it before the show to see if it was too early to release this information.
Uh-oh.
But just know we got some major things on the way. Now, check this out. I know I told you guys last week exactly where we at with the fundraising and raising money for the studio treatment. So we are still on that page, guys.
Yes.
Just keep in mind, any super chat, all are appreciated, but anything at $10 or above, we will actually read live on air by myself or Tyshawn. And this is the thing. Last time we had Pastor James on the show, the members went crazy. The super chats went crazy. So I already know y'all better show out.
Yes.
Because he done brought the wife because we got to get y'all straightened out. They need some help.
Oh, my gosh. And first of all, we are in the midst of right now, like just a bunch. We're being stormed right now. Because we just recently had Samantha Lee on the platform who talked about her her marriage that she had recently with Tyrese. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what happens when something hit the shade room. And it hit the shade room and it's going crazy. Okay. Tyrese just actually did a response to the actual episode that we just shot last Wednesday with Samantha Lee. And you know, I think that's actually really relevant to what's happening here. Because what we're seeing even on the internet now is the wounds of a relationship that the divorce happened a year ago. Well, it was finalized a year ago. The separation happened 4 years ago, but we still feeling the ripple effects through the entire internet today, right? So if we feeling it, I can imagine the family's feeling it. I can imagine the children's feeling. I can imagine the friends, the aunties, the uncles, everybody's feeling it at that point. And they're just an example, because a lot of that's the thing about, you know, being on a stage, because you just experience your life in front of people. A lot of people are experiencing that same thing on the level that they at. And it's probably because they don't have core values for their relationship. And they didn't have what we about to be putting here today. So I'm excited for y'all to put this here together. But before we even get into it, y'all, when we're talking about core values, what do you even define as a core value? What is a core value?
Core values are the values, the convictions, and the belief system, kind of like the culture, the shared set of attitudes, the shared set of goals, the shared set of values that we share that characterizes the nature of our covenant. So both of us in our core, we got to have certain belief systems and we got to have certain convictions for the two of us to completely become one.
Absolutely.
Are you with me? So core values, the purpose of core values is, number one, I'm thoroughly convinced and fully persuaded that core values will keep you out of divorce court. If they are the values of your core that you two have shared and y'all have, you two have agreed and made an allegiance with it. So the strength is, let me keep my vow. Let me keep my value. And so therefore, when something is a value to me, I protect my values.
That's good.
When something is a valuable, if something is a value to me, I don't only protect my value, but I also I feed my values.
Right.
You got me? My values feed me and I feed them. When something is a value to me, I'm not about to allow anything to get on the inside of my value to infect me. Because four core values are also protection from infection.
Absolutely.
I think I need to let her in.
I was going to say, I wanted to backtrack just a little bit. I was looking at a news article on CNBC. And so you would think, why do people get married or why people get divorced? You would think that it came from infidelity. You would think that maybe it came from money matters. The report said, out of interviewing 1,000 people, 63% of people ended up in divorce court because, one, they never understood the commitment in marriage, and number two, they never fully understood their significant other's values, meaning what do they value as a person? So it could very well be that before there is infidelity, before there is a situation with not having with money or finances, how does your significant other, how does your wife or your husband, how do they value money? What do they think about money? Are they a spender? That's a value. When it comes to infidelity, how much is how sacred is marriage to them? Is it just a piece of paper? Or is it really that we are going before God and we are really entering into a covenant? So before we even get to the place of getting married, what are the values you've established by yourself individually? So I think what you said was a value is, what does it really mean to you?
Absolutely.
So if I'm a person where I was thinking that one of the core values was that, you know, infidelity, men cheating or women cheating, and that's why the relationship's not working out. Could it very well be that the value is, I look at marriage as something to do, and maybe I'm in this relationship and, you know, life is going good. I want a partner. Maybe I'm just looking at partnership, but I'm not really looking at having a covenant, a real vow between someone. So if we don't establish the core values in the beginning, all the other little things are just branches. The core value is the real foundation that a relationship stands on.
And we create core values because if we create them, then we won't compromise our standards.
That's good.
I like that.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
I'm very curious because I want to make sure I got those two things. The first thing was the people, they didn't really know what
the level of commitment.
And the second thing
is they did not really know the values of their spouse that they were with. So like, for instance, let me think of an example. There could be a value that I literally really like for me and my husband to spend a lot of quality time together. I'm not a woman that really likes a lot of independence. I really, really enjoy spending lots of quality time, family time. And then there could be, you didn't really know that about them. Maybe it was something, well, yeah, this is something that we usually do, but now I have a career and my life is taken off and I don't have as much time that I can give my wife. Well, now you're married to her, but her core value was, I really love spending quality time. When we don't spend time together, I feel there's a separation or a wedge. Well, you're thinking that you're providing for the family and that provision and, you know, that you're taking care of them. But in her mind, she's thinking, I really value our time together. And so from there, when you're not really understanding what she values, it can put a wedge in the relationship because you didn't really understand how much that meant to her at the time. Does that make any sense?
That makes absolute sense. Yeah. And I want to talk about that first part as well, because mm-hmm. now that you gave me a good understanding of that mm-hmm. second piece, the marriage commitment, because we, Tyshawn talks about this. We had an episode.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We had two different panels. Mm-hmm. We had a husband panel where we asked him about, you know, if divorce would ever be an option. And we asked the same thing to a panel of wives. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference in the response to this question was the husband said, I'm getting married. Absolutely zero chance of divorce. Mm-hmm. Whereas the women responded with, I'm in it, but if this happens, but. I'm out. Right. It was always a but if. It's a contingency.
Yes, sir.
So could you explain, Mrs. Tiffany, could you explain what is the commitment of marriage?
Well, it depends on where you are in your belief system. Once again, before we start talking about the commitment in marriage, what do you really believe? So for me, commitment in marriage is I'm not just going to walking down the aisle, getting so excited about being a bride. I am literally walking down the aisle to come to a man that I'm about to fully submit to. And we are about to make this commitment before God, not just about each other, but we are literally going in to make this vow before God to say for better or for worse, for to death do us part. And so for me, the level of commitment is at this age in my life where I am right now. And when we got married, I was 36. I don't have any contingencies. It literally means that we go back to what we're talking about, the core values. There are just certain values that we established yeah. while we were dating that if we are on the same rhythm and we are on one accord with that, why would I even have a contingency? Because obviously there's something in the dating process where there's maybe a slight red flag, because how could you say I do, and you know that you are making this commitment before God, and this is a vow. And I understand. I'm not so super spiritual where I don't understand that things happen. But with that being said, where I am in my mind, my belief system, and how I believe that it is us making this commitment where the Holy Spirit is the threefold cord keeping us together. I'm not looking at marriage as a way out. I'm looking at us building something together, yeah. and we about to ride this thing all the way out.
Yeah, so We look at it as if exactly what the scriptures say, the two
yeah.
have become one.
Yes.
So therefore, when I walk down the aisle and I say my vows, what's literally taking place is I'm becoming you.
Yep.
You are becoming me. So when the two becomes one, there is no separation. Mm-hmm. The power is in the oneness. So therefore, I am all the way in her. She's all the way in me. And there is no way. And we've done marriages before, and we've done a symbolic illustration of when one person pour some sand in and another person pour the sand in. And then when you put the sand together, can you get the sand from separation?
Right.
Can't separate the sand.
Right.
Are you with me?
Right.
So therefore, based on our core values,
right,
based on our shared set of beliefs, goals, and attitudes, based off what God is doing with us, one of the constitutional rules of our house is we don't say the D word
at all. Don't say it.
Right. Are we talking about the values? We ain't even talking about the Constitution. Yeah.
Right? I like that.
Yeah, I'm serious. You got a Constitution in the United States, right? It's certain things that you do and don't do in the United States, because if you break the constitutional laws, you're going to get sued or you're going to prison.
Let me go a little further, because what may be allowed in another country is not allowed in this country.
Are you
so with me? Everybody's constitution is different. Now, it may not be something that they do over there, but over here in this house, this is our constitution. Yeah. This is what we live by. Yeah.
So when you walk through this door, it's just certain things, certain conversations, certain words, because we understand the power of it. It just don't come through the door.
Right.
So it's core like values and the Constitution.
Yeah. We ain't going to get in the Constitution, though. We're going to stay with
it. That's episode three. Constitution.
It's, you know, the English language, it's languages that, you know, part of other cultures where certain words that are included in the Webster's Dictionary in English that they don't even have.
Oh, in other places.
In other places. Absolutely. It's not even a thing.
Absolutely.
So I like that you said that because divorce, it can often be used as a way to threaten a partner.
And so to back up what you're saying, in Japanese language, they've took out the word opposition, and it's defined as opportunity. Mm. So when anything take place, they're not looking at it
as an opposition,
something coming to them, right? They're looking, when COVID happened, they didn't look at it as opposition. They looked at it as opportunity. Mm. Am I making sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Ops. For sure.
And so, like you was just talking about, some people use the D word as an avenue to scare somebody.
Right.
It's dangerous to try to use the D word to scare somebody when you know deep down in your heart you really, really don't want that, but you want to get some control. But what you don't know is that when you are using this word and introducing it, you're producing a seed. And when you put the seed in the next person, that gives the person the opportunity to start getting ready to check out. Yeah. You're not checking out, but you're using the word. And when you use the word, it gives them the opportunity to start saying, let me start protecting myself. They start checking out. But all you had to do from the start was what? Not even let the word come through.
Right. Mm.
If you allow the word to come through, then you are allowing a seed to go inside of a person's heart. And then it's starting to create some stuff.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So that's the reason why in our house, we just don't, the D word, we don't even pronounce it.
Right.
So they got me thinking. You mind?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm thinking about, we had an episode where we had Dozy, who's a 32-year-old virgin, gentleman, very cool, very had a lot of great things to say about his experience with being a virgin and abstinence.
I watched part of that.
Okay. Yep. And we had Candon, who's a purity or a wholeness. 14 years abstinent. And we're having a conversation with them, and it came up about how different guys will have a different type of response. Let's say a not so good response to a woman communicating that she's abstinent, right? So I want to talk to you guys about that, because and what I was wanting to detail during that conversation was, I don't think it's the abstinence, a woman communicate that she's abstinent. I think it's the other things where the guys can see that this is not a core value of hers per se, or how she lives her life, but this is just something that she wants to apply to their specific situation. Does that make sense?
So you're saying that it's not technically that she's really practicing abstinence. She's just wanting to withhold sex from that particular relationship.
Exactly. Like, for example, yes and no. So she's abstinent, right? That's what she's communicating. But her Instagram profile has a bunch of scantily clad photos.
Okay.
Or her actions may indicate that it's something else going on. Mm-hmm. So she's saying, hey, I want to be abstinent, but it doesn't seem as if she's actually practicing everything that should come with abstinence.
Okay.
I understand exactly what you're saying. It's okay. A hypocritical aspect in the middle of it.
Yes, exactly.
We didn't want to say that, but that's what it is. Go ahead.
Well, no, because I don't know her, but it's plenty of people that are flashing fancy cars and houses on social media and broke as a joke. So right. With that being said, she very well could have good intent. I don't really know. I'm careful to walk on. I don't know her personally. So with that being said, I think there's something along the way that she may really still desire the attention that she's getting from men. Maybe I don't want to take it further and actually have sex, but I really do. I really do enjoy the attention from men. I really do enjoy the likes, the comments, and the shares. But what I post and what I do, it should be a snapshot of your life, but that doesn't always necessarily mean, because literally to be abstinent and she's still maybe posting a picture, it sounds like to me, if I'm hearing the question correctly, the man or that she's dating, a man maybe just be thinking that she's holding out for him and not necessarily really telling the truth.
Well, just a situation where if you say, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm religious, mm-hmm. but you don't go to church, you don't read the Bible, yeah. you're not amongst people of the same mind. Then it's like, what are you really communicating to?
Right. Them? I agree completely mm-hmm. with that. I think that's one of the scary things that this culture is in now. It's a lot of hypocrisy. We say one thing, but then we show a different version of ourselves. But I really want to hear a male's perspective with that, because you went ahead and called her a hypocrite already.
I didn't call her a hypocrite.
All hypothetical,
just,
by the way.
Yeah. And I was just trying to understand as you was right. trying to understand. And so I'm just the type of person that when I get something, like, I just need to be clear.
Right.
Like, basically, is it so you saying one thing, but you demonstrating hypocritical actions.
Exactly.
And so it can lead a man to get offended. It can lead a man to basically start taking the beliefs of I just think she might not want me. Right. But the truth of the matter is, in this age, in the social media age, I'm going right back to what you said. I'm thoroughly convinced and fully persuaded that a lot of people have a deep desire for attention. And when the desire for attention hadn't been appropriately filled, people would do anything for likes, comments, and shares.
Right.
And so I don't, like she's saying, I don't know her. So, but I can see clearly how a person could be practicing abstinence, because in their mind, watch this, people could also want a trophy for practicing abstinence.
Yeah.
They're not just practicing abstinence because it's really a value.
Right.
But some people could just be wanting to be seen as a person to get on certain platforms to be able to say and just hold it in the grove for real. I'm not doing nothing. But at the same time, you know, exposing yourself to such a profound degree that other people will like, comment, and share, and you like. And so now I'm practicing abstinence. And so I love the attention. So I got 1,000 dudes I can pick. Mm-hmm. Mm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So the satisfaction in the mind of a person to be like, I've never had this type of attention. I've never loved myself to such of a profound degree. So now I understand I'm doing some, and it seems like everybody else loved me.
Right.
And so it could be a fabricated image. It could be a fabricated thing for a person.
And the only reason I ask that is because I'm trying to figure out, when do the core values start? Do they start when I get into the relationship, or do they start with me and then it's subsequent steps after?
They immediately start with you, individual. It's personal. Don't even know how people, you get into a relationship and now all of a sudden you're ready to define who you are. There are literally aspects that you should be walking in prior to a relationship so that you can attract who you are. So if you haven't defined any core values, who you are separately to getting into a relationship, you are in a very, very dangerous situation. Because if I don't define me first, whoever I partner with, they're going to define me.
Identity is everything.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't know who you are, anyone, culture, society will turn you into whoever they want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into a relationship not knowing who I am, I become a burden to my wife.
Yes.
All right. If you go into a relationship not knowing who you are, you become a burden to your girlfriend. Why yeah. is that? Because you need her to define you. You need her to see something about you that you can't see about yourself. Mm-hmm. You need her to show you skill sets or show you gifts, talents, and abilities that you think you have, but you're not as confident as you need to be. And so therefore, when a person continues to have to encourage you, build you, edify you, and you're not confident to know this is who you are, you don't become a blessing. You're supposed to go into the relationship to be a blessing, but you end up turning into a burden because you don't know who you are. One of the worst things a person can do is go into a relationship not having their identity intact. Identity is everything. Mm.
These core values weren't something that we came up with while we were married. This was something that was established like completely early on. One of the things, so we talk about, y'all know we are believers. We're believers in Jesus Christ. And so one of the fruits of the Spirit is, well, there's multiple, love, joy, peace. But the one I'm trying to get at is self-control. If I don't have the core value of self-control prior to becoming one with someone, why do I think self-control is going to be developed in the relationship? There is so much internal work that you've got to do prior to becoming one with someone, because if not, like he just said, rather than me coming into the relationship being a blessing, I'm coming in being a burden. I'm coming in bringing all of my insecurities. I'm coming in bringing all of my baggage, all of my drama, because I never did the individual work first. And so one of the things that I have to look at is self-control. So one of the core values that we have right now, I can't really even begin to even craft a core value if I don't even have any self-control. And I think that's why most, when we start talking about the D word or divorce, a lot of times it is because the other person has not been able to really develop self-control in the relationship. So how do I even begin to talk about a value when I don't even know how to control myself enough to even be able to receive and to respect the values of my mate? It's a lot of internal work that has to be done first.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me go into this. When we met each other, online, and I'm pretty sure we end up telling that story.
That's dope.
This is telling now.
Wow. For sure. Yo.
We don't have to say the site.
When we met each other, this is what I knew, gentlemen. I knew this. She's not going to change me. I'm designed to change her. This is no competition. This is no competing. But I know who I am based off my core values. I know who I am based off my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
God didn't design it for women to lord it over or control or change men. God designed it for the order to be God, man.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
One man. So I had core values established in my heart. And this is what I knew, that my wife had to be on this rhythm. Right. I'm pretty sure she had it, the same thing. Her husband had to be on this rhythm. If we're not on the same rhythm, if we're not on the same flow, if we can't flow together, we definitely can't grow together.
Absolutely.
Mm. Are you with me?
And yeah. I want to define that just a little bit more, because it wasn't the fact that I met a man that was trying to change me, but I met a man that called me up to who I really was. I just needed someone to call me up. We deal with a lot of people where you get connected to someone, they call you down to where they are. Nobody calls you up to where they are. He had certain core values in his life that made me become a better version of myself. So when we use the word change, it is how does this person that you're connecting to, how do they call you up? How do they make you become a better version of you? And that's exactly what he did. A prime example is I grew up in the church. I took a long hiatus from the church. I was the one, the girl that would scream, I love God. But I was the girl that I would also get to church and would want to hurry up after church was over to get to the bottomless mimosas. I wanted to turn up a little bit. I was like real confessing one thing, but my lifestyle, not that I was out there wilding out or whatever, but my lifestyle wasn't at the place where if somebody, brief testimony, sitting at a bar, this is before I met my husband, sitting at a bar and they were playing Blow the Whistle by Too Short. I'm sitting there. I got a drink in my hand. I literally hear the Holy Spirit say, Tiffany, if somebody wanted to know me, would they come to you to ask about me? And before I could even answer, he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You look like the world. You sound like the world. You're dressed like the world. It was such a deep conviction in me that I got up and left. That was 2 years prior to meeting him. But I had never met another man that was able to call me up into the true identity who I knew God was calling me to be. God was saying, you are my daughter. Cover that up, sis. You are my daughter. Utilize self-control. Why would you want to get drunk and then not know how you're getting home safely? He was calling me up to a standard, not to be super religious, but he was calling me to the standard to be his daughter. Not just, you know, we call him our Heavenly Father, but he was calling me to the standard to really represent, to be able to show people what it's really like to be a girl who's completely in love with God. So when I met James, one of the most profound things was I loved his relationship with God. I loved his prayer life. I loved that he was a man that didn't do a lot of yelling and screaming. I loved that he read books. I love that he wanted to know the inner parts of me. So when he talked about changing me, it wasn't that you're looking for someone to change you, but are you attaching yourself? Are you connecting yourself with someone that has the ability to call you up? Not where we're just, and there's areas where God knows that I've called him up, but we don't really look for that anymore. It's so based on the physical, but he was really, really touching me internally, calling me up to who I'm supposed to be.
Because relationships are about transformation, and transformation is the ability to go from to. So if you're in brokenness and you meet a person, they should have the ability to start putting some in you to take you to wholeness. Some people meet people and they're broken. And then from brokenness, they go down to depression because transformation is from to. Whether you're going from to something great or whether you're going from to something that's a disaster. Relationships are about transformation. When you connect with somebody, either they're going to bring the worst out of you or they're going to bring the best out of you.
Right.
But if you know who you are, you know what you got to bring to the table. You know what you stand for. You know where you're going. If you know who you are, if you know where you're going, if you know what you want, you can bring the best out of a person because you know what's in you. And you know when you got something in you, you got something to add to the situation. You don't have anything to subtract from the situation.
So first of all, y'all already see what kind of episode this is about to be. Facts. We 30 minutes in, so we about to let the Facebook group go.
Let them go. Let them go.
Not only are we 30 minutes in and that, we already got over 800 people in the chat. So what I need for y'all to do.
That's growing fast. The amount of people in the chat is growing very quickly now.
What's going to help grow it is you guys hitting this like button. Let's quickly get us to 400 likes. That's just a few of the people in here pressing that thumbs up button. Close your chat. Just take some time and actually press the like button because the world needs to hear this.
I got a couple shout outs.
Let's go ahead and shout out our people.
Shout out to Bestest Friends. Shout out to Beautiful One. Shout out to Your Milk and Honey, Harrison Family Values, and Ayana Gibbs. Just a few people who have joined Heartly Initiated Family on the YouTube channel membership. And shout out to Keisa Walker. Keisa, so talk about Keisa a bit. How we know Keisa?
Man, back in the day, in our last company, this is me and Ryan's actually third business that we're in together. Keisa actually was one of the people that was in the workspace that we used to be in. And she's seen us go, you talk about transformation, right? From there to here, you see it happening. You see the evolution. So we love you. And I actually want to speak on that a bit. Did we finish the shout outs?
Yeah, we good. Well, you know what? Real quick, Shout out to VJ. VJ, we just love you.
Shout out to VJ.
VJ has probably been the first person to drop a super chat on the past 15 episodes.
We're gonna do something special for VJ one day. Look, I'm calling now, VJ. Just facts. Stay here with us, baby. Stay here with us.
Shout out to Rhonda Marie and shout out to Crystal Robbins. Crystal, look, I'm gonna personally give this message to Pastor James. I want you to email us at info@harleyinitiated.com. We're gonna make sure you're good.
Yes. So interesting, I kind of talked about this prior, but this really is me and Ryan's third business together.
Okay.
And for each one of those businesses we started, a part of the practice and the exercise we had to actually start the business, the very first exercise was literally to create core values for our business.
Yes, sir. Good.
And the beauty of those core values was it really had us think about the approach and the angle we wanted to take in each business. And the core values were so important because the way we talked about the core values was the core values were that thing that would lead our decision-making in the type of people we would hire and bring into our business. And we always would say to the people that we brought in, whenever, if me and Ryan not around and y'all don't know what to do and you got to make a decision, you look at the core values as your North Star to make a decision.
Direction.
Right.
Because it always goes back to the core values and how we move and how we operate. And when I'm thinking about these seven core values that we have, I'm just imagining that people are starting probably the most important business, the most important union that they can ever have, and that exercise is not being had. And I remember, I want to say it was this business we ran into. And I don't think we did as good as a job out the gate with our core values.
We didn't even set any.
And the funny thing is, when we talk about, we had this evolution where recently we made a very big change in a pivot in the direction we went.
Value.
It really went into a core value exercise where we had to really figure out where the hell we was going and how we was going to do this. And it really took us actually getting our value straight. So let's actually start with these core values. Y'all kind of broke down the intro, but break it down for us so we can know what values we need in our relationship.
Hey, well, look, let's not give them all at the time. We got to make sure
they're going to go one at a time.
We're going to
just feed them a little bit so they'll stay.
Exactly.
Keep on going because they're going to keep going up and up.
Hey, y'all, listen, get your pen and paper out tonight because this is going to be some notes that y'all need to take.
If you give them the seven, they're going to think they got the whole message down.
Right.
Absolutely. If I may start.
I was going to say, it's not that I want to kind of sometimes because you're receiving information, you need to know who you're receiving it from.
Yeah.
My husband and I, we have been together for 9 years. We're coming up on 8 years of marriage. And sometimes people look at the length of something. What I can say, and I think you said that the last time that you were here, I can count on one hand how many times we have gotten into like horrific arguments or things that are just, you know, that are toxic.
Yeah.
And I really believe it's been because of these core values. Yeah. So I think this is going to bless some people.
So in other words, we got fruit.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Fruit.
Yes. Yeah, we got fruit. Yeah. We got produce.
I love that.
We can produce peace. We can produce love. You can produce joy. Not being braggadocious. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But when you walk into our house, you'll feel peace.
Yeah.
Every person that's ever walked in our house, first thing they say, man, it's a peace in here.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a peace in here because of these core values.
That's a compliment right there. It's some peace in here.
Yeah, some peace in here.
But look, don't hold it for us. Let's get them core values.
First things first. First things first. God is first, and we put each other first. Mm-hmm. First things first. God is first. Not money. God is first. Not children. God is first. Not our goals. God is first. Not our careers. God is first. Why is God first? God is first because if I put anything else first before God, if anything start happening inside, opposition starts coming to the marriage and storms start coming to the marriage and the foundation starts trying to get infected, then whatever we put first, that has to have the ability to begin to come in to fix whatever it is that we're going through.
Yeah. Mm.
So if God is first, now he's all power, he's all knowing, he's all present, he's all integrity. Whatever he says, if something is coming against me, watch this, I yield to what he says because God first means this. God is not just savior, but he's Lord.
That's good.
Type that in.
Right.
God first means he's not just savior, he's Lord. When he is Lord, this means that whatever he says, I have to be the one to be the student, to take the instruction, to obey whatever he says. So if it's anything that's going wrong, if peace is not there, then I can always go to God because he's first. Why is peace not in the home? Peace been in the home. Why is peace not in the home now? 9 times out of 10, he's going to let me know that something is not right and I need to fix it when he's first.
Right.
God is first.
I want to add, so I love my husband dearly. I know that he loves me too, but it's not the fact that I think that he loves me so much and that he's good to me because he loves me. It is literally the God that is inside of him that is literally the Lord over his life that is being his governor. So when you have a man that put God, that puts God first, it is the fact that that man has submitted to God prior to asking me to submit to him. You have more men that are unsubmitted looking for women to submit to them, where I look at him, because sometimes we can say put God first in this culture. That statement can sound cliche, yeah, but it's literally meaning, is God the governor of your life? When you are in a bad situation and you could either do the right thing or the wrong thing, are you governed by your feelings in your flesh or are you governed by the Holy Spirit? And so that really, really matters. I've never understood it. We come to God and we go to the altar. And we 9 times out of 10, usually it's done in a church. Some people may get married in a courthouse, but I'm talking to people who get married in church. You'll get a pastor or whomever else to marry you, and you'll make this covenant unto God. But then God is not in the relationship. It's almost like you do it just for the wedding day, where I'm looking at my husband. God is first, not because he says that God is first, not because he has this amazing prayer life, which I absolutely love, not because he reads his Bible, which he should read his Bible. I know that God is first because God is the governor in his life. So that means when he leaves the house, my husband travels a lot. I'm not the woman that sits back where I'm insecure and I have to worry, because I'm like, God, it's not because I'm having to wonder, like, you know, is my husband going to be good to me? Aside from me, before I met him, God was the governor in his life. Same thing with me. God is my governor. So I'm not answering to my husband. I'm first answering to the God that's in me. And then I'm able to fall back into my husband because he's submitted to God. It's the order, like he just said, it's God, man, and woman. But you really have to ask yourself, who is the man submitted to? A man that is submitted to no one is terrifying. That's dangerous. In some ways, he's become his own God. Because if you don't have anyone that is moving you in the avenue, telling you right from wrong, we all have a conscience, meaning men and women. But who is your conscience controlled by? Is it controlled by how you feel? Or is it, I feel it, but I don't respond to it? Because even though I'm feeling this thing, God is my governor. And because I don't want to disappoint my father, I'm not doing this that can later on ruin my relationship. So when we talk about God first, that's really what we're saying. Is he the governor first in your life?
Yeah, not as an event.
Yeah.
But as a lifestyle.
Not about us going to church together.
Not about church on Sundays.
I mean, we should go to church together.
Yeah. Yeah. But God is first, even when he's grooming me and I don't want to be groomed.
Yeah.
God is first, even when he's guiding me when I don't want to be guided.
When I don't want to be led.
When I don't want to be led. God has to be first in every aspect of my life, because like she just said, a man left to himself to be his own God will always self-destruct. Jesus himself said in the Bible, I don't do the thing unless I see my father do it. I don't say it unless I see my father say it. He came under to show every single man that we got to come under somebody. We got to come under submission, because if we left to our selfishness, we're going to self-destruct.
Yeah.
God is first. Watch this. If God is first, and then the sequel to that, under the same core value, is we put each other first.
Yeah.
Mom is not first. Brothers and sisters are not first. Children, I know this is a hard one. Children are not first. The two have become one. So God is first, and now she's first in marriage. This is the power of our covenant. This is the power of our core values. See, because if the two becomes one and we're a team, It ain't a devil in hell or nothing that can stop us. When I put her first, she put me first.
So I got a quick question here, because when it comes down to it, I don't realistically think that ladies are really out here meeting men with amazing prayer lives.
I got you.
That's really reading their Bible every week. I mean, really, when we even think about it, I think they said the statistic was less than 30% of the world even reads.
Absolutely.
So realistically, I don't really think that these men are in abundance that have that closeness and that connection with God. So if God is first and a woman needs to make sure that a man is submitted to God and he's not really displaying these things, but he has some of the qualities that might be a good man. He's got a decent job. He's respectful, comes from a decent home. He's planning. At least looks like he plans on treating her right. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's vetting him out. Mm-hmm. Should that be a concern for her? How does she go about, you know, managing this type of man in that type of relationship?
Let me say this, and I'm going to give it straight to you. Let me say this. When you have a desire to become one with a person and fall in love with a person, and you're thinking about spending your life, the rest of your life with a person, and you're not where you need to be, and they allow and they open you up to see you are not where you need to be, I'm thoroughly convinced and fully persuaded that a person would want to start growing towards that place. Mm-hmm. Am I making any sense? Yeah. So when they want to start growing towards that place, now here comes the core values. See, the core values can come in even before we even get into the engagement or anything else, because you know that we are going somewhere. We are becoming to go somewhere. We're not becoming to stay where we are.
Right.
We're becoming to go somewhere. So if I don't grow into who I need to grow into, then I can't hold my weight when it's time to go and plow.
Right.
Are you with me? So when it's time for us to do some real work, we need to be equally yoked. And so when you start talking about being equally yoked, then this literally means that I have the same level of strength that she has. Mm-hmm. She has the same level of strength that I have. And we can put us side by side with each other. And if whatever speed, ability, and strength that it takes in order to get the job done, we got it together.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm not saying throw them away or be like, no, it ain't. No, I ain't doing this. Maybe he or she may be the one, but maybe it might not just be time.
It may be something that they need to grow into. That was going to be my question. That lady, like you said, maybe everybody is not sitting around praying and reading their Bible all the time. But my question is that one of her core values? Because if it's one of her core values, this is the thing. I think I heard on one of you all's episodes where they were talking about like a man of God. I'm not even talking about a pastor or a preacher or a deacon. I'm not even talking about a man of God. I'm just talking about God's man, somebody that literally has the ability just to not want to do life separate from God. I'm not meaning that he got to do sermons and every time you look at him, you know, he's sprinkling oil on you. I'm not saying that. What James just said is so true. Are you with someone that maybe he's just a good man? You know that he's going to love you. You know that he's a provider and protector. But my core value is I really do want someone that's going to pray for me. I want a covering in my marriage. I want someone that is going to be able to pray and lead our family. He's not there yet, but because this is one of my core values and we are considering marriage, then I would hope that he would want to grow into that version of himself, because that woman should be able to call him up to where she needs him to be. If her core values are God, man, woman, and right now she's like, I'm the one that's stronger spiritually, then maybe she calls him up to that, hey, I'm not looking for you to be quote unquote a man of God, but hey, babe, I really do want you to grow in this area. I want you to pray for our family. I want you to cover our family. Can we sometimes sit down and read our Bible together? Can we maybe attend church together? Plug in those things. And if he's really the one that God has for you, he's going to rise to the occasion, because what you're asking him to do is not something demonic. It's not something that's awful. You're literally calling him into a relationship that's not just beneficial for you all, but it's beneficial for him. I believe that all people have the ability to grow, but you have to first look at the person that you're signing up to be with. Are you willing to grow in this area to meet me at my core value? Because I'm the type of woman, I refuse to settle. I'm good with meeting you where you are, but at some point where you are is not where we're staying. And so you've got to know your strength and identity as a woman, because that's the other part is we counsel women who get with men and they knew that a man was deficient in an area. Mm. And now they're a year into the marriage, and what they were okay with prior to walking down the aisle, now they are in this big thing of like, you know, help us, what do we do? And my real words to her, girl, get yourself together, because you knew what you were getting yourself into. Let's figure out how we go in now and try to make sure that you have, because everything is not about him. Some things are about you. Why were you okay with saying I do to someone when you knew that he wasn't in this area? He wasn't willing to grow. Why are you even saying I do to a man that you know is not willing to grow? So I go back to the original thing. What do you do? Is that her core value? Because if it's her core value, why are you entertaining a man who's not willing to come and meet you at your core value?
I like this message. I think it's a very powerful message that you guys are sharing with us now. And I'm thinking about that first core value, put God first.
Yeah, God is first.
Now, if some people that's watching this, because I would say we don't identify as a Christian podcast. Yeah, we bring a lot of different people on, right? But it's people that are listening to this message that's like, already, they don't lost me with this first core value.
I'm sure.
Because I don't see myself, I see myself as non-religious. I may see myself as spiritual. Or I just may be in this place where I'm just generally not receptive to God in general, in whatever form. So this is a personal question for the both of you, I think. Do you think a man or woman that doesn't identify as religious, or maybe they're non-spiritual in some kind of way, do you think it makes it more difficult for them to find that potential long-term relationship or long-term partner?
I think the aspect of joining life with someone and not having any foundation, I guess my question would go back to that person. When things get hectic in a relationship, what do you do? Like, who do you turn to? I'm always curious about people who do life on their own. You are about to connect yourself to someone. So maybe you asking me the question, but I really have the question back to some of those who are saying they're not religious, they're not in a relationship with God. Then what is your source when things get out of whack? It's, to me, I think it just makes relationally, I think it makes it really, really hard. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. One of the most dangerous things that I truly believe, one of the most dangerous things is for two people to come together and say they're becoming one, but they don't have the spiritual aspect on the same rhythm. Because like I just said, if God is not the number one priority in my life, if he's not over me, then I'm over me. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm over me, I'm left to my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own emotions, my own this, my own that. And so like she said, when a storm come or when something come bigger than me, what do I do when I don't have it, when I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the power, I don't have the understanding to turn the situation around? Are you with me?
Yeah.
If I try to go into something and I'm saying the spiritual element is non-existent, then I've already eradicated, I've already eliminated a part of life that I'm going to need to keep this thing together, regardless of what we say, think, feel, or believe.
We're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. So when I take myself, I'm not just taking me. My spirit is coming along. My soul is coming along. My body is coming along. If I'm not spiritual, what happens to that other part of me? That means you only want 2/3 of me.
Yeah, soul and body.
Yeah, soul and body. So I'm really wondering, what does that person do with the spiritual aspect?
I'm wondering too. I actually, should we drop a poll on that?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
What was the poll in particular?
Well, I'm just curious how many people would identify as non-religious.
Mm-hmm. But non-religious and non-spiritual is different.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of people are going to say I'm spiritual.
Yeah, so
but I'm not religious.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Like it's people who are like they've rebelled against religion for whatever reason that might be. And they still say, look, I still want to learn, you know, the spiritual science of the world. And I'm still open to understanding that. But then there's other people that's like, no, I'm like the spiritual realm altogether is, you know, whatever the case is. And they just totally closed their mind to that. I think those probably are the more, you know, three categories, if anything, to ask. But I'm curious too, because I've never asked or polled our audience about their spiritual beliefs. And I think that's a really good point too.
And help me out with those three before you get started.
Just say, would they identify as religious, spiritual, or non-belief?
Yeah, non-believers.
What's that? Atheist?
That's what it is.
Atheist. Mm-hmm. But see, in general, it's like I too am with you on that because even me personally, like, I mean, when and folks look, you might say you atheist too when till your back get against the wall.
Yeah, for sure.
And like you just starting to look for something, and the nearest and dearest thing might be a prayer to somebody that all of a sudden you're trying to build a relationship with, because things just harder and out of your hands and understanding, you know, and that's where it can start.
You coming into a relationship or to a marriage, and you are not just you yourself coming in.
Yeah,
you coming in with somebody else. Two people make up a relationship or a marriage. So therefore, you thinking one way, you believing one way, you deciding one day, you one way, you feeling one way. You got a whole other person that's on the other side thinking, deciding, feeling, and believing a whole other way.
Yeah.
How in the world, if I'm thinking south and she's thinking north, how in the world can two individuals make it to the same destination without a third person on the inside that can gel them together and move them into the same direction?
Yeah. Right.
It may start off good because, you know, whatever we both like sports. We both like cooking. We both got some likes. It may start off like that, but in a matter of time, when life starts lifing,
life happens.
Yeah. And the depths of you have to be exposed. You better believe you're going to need some help.
Yeah.
You know, it's to be honest, we could do a whole damn show on that first quarterback. I promise you we can.
Yeah.
I promise you. But that's such a good point.
Yeah.
And here's actually what I want to do, y'all, because first of all, we got 960 people in here.
Okay.
The poll has just dropped. All right. So choose a category. Which category do you most identify with? That's religious, spiritual, and non-believer. And if you're watching a pre-record, just put it in the comment. Okay. And that's why for all the pre-records, I want you to put the answers to these polls in the comment section. But what I want y'all to do is go ahead and do. We got 116 votes here now. And it's funny. Typically, when we get about 115, 120, the whatever set in there, the percentages, they might just change by a few percentage points, yeah, but that's generally the answer.
Yeah.
This one is hopping around, though.
Yeah.
This one hopping around. Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna let this one sit here for a minute. And, you know, it's interesting because when you're talking about these conversations about the core values, a lot of people can just find it very difficult to know when to introduce these or how to introduce this conversation. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, how do we have this conversation when we, you know, in that dating phase and getting to know one another? Do I say, what's your core values?
No.
Like, how do I figure that out?
Please
don't do it that way. I think you start out with your lifestyle. The greatest message you'll ever preach is how you live.
Yes,
sir. I think you start right there with your lifestyle. I think you allow them to see consistent decision making.
So it's not necessarily
what you say at first. At first. Because I got to give a person the opportunity to know me by what I do, not by what I say.
Right.
He was really slick with me. He asked me, what books are you reading? And I had never had a man ask me.
Now, I asked that question.
Never had a man ask me that.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it's showing you thought process. It's showing you the direction of the thoughts.
It sure is.
He asked me what books I was reading. He wanted to know, like, what television shows did I watch? Do I really even watch TV? He wanted to know, like, what I did for fun. Was I the girl that was still out clubbing? Because he's more of a homebody. He asked a lot of lifestyle questions. And so the lifestyle questions let him know what rhythm that I was on. And so I didn't even know much about him. And so sometimes it's good just to ask people questions in the beginning so that they don't become a version of themselves just to make you enter into a relationship with them. I didn't know where these questions were coming from. He just mm-hmm. asked the questions and then I went ahead and answered and here we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. like I say, you got to live this.
Yeah.
Because if it's in me, I know it when it's in you.
Yeah.
If it's not in you, I know you can't trick me. Mm-hmm. So I don't say initially start off, but for us, I think, our first conversation was like 5 or 6 hours.
It was a long time.
It was a long hour. Yeah, first conversation. First time.
Yeah.
first conversation was like five or six hours.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
We met online. Go on, mm-hmm. tell the story. You do great at it.
I, I got married when I was really young. I was 22. That marriage only lasted for 2 years. And Lord knows, core values were the farthest thing from my mind when that happened. And mm-hmm. so I was too young. Got divorced, went through like a really, really hard season. And I was single for years, kind of dated here and there, you know, had a relationship kind of, but I knew that he wasn't the one. And so finally my mother one day said, well, you know, I'm spending a lot of time at home by myself, because I just told y'all my testimony. God asked me while I'm sitting on this at this bar, like, how will people even want to know me? Would they even come and ask you? So I'm sitting here feeling convicted, not really knowing what to do with myself. So I'm home by myself a lot. And so I had a lot of friends that had successful relationships from online dating. So I said, let me go ahead and just get my little thing. Now, this is back in 2014. So it's a little bit different now. Times have changed a lot. But then you had to go in and set up a profile and put up your credit card information. I did that, but they were offering like a free trial run. So like if you did it for 7 days, then you don't have, you won't get charged for it. I actually went on there and I went on a total of 3 dates. James was one of them, but I actually went on 2 dates with 2 other really nice guys too. I just wasn't feeling it. But prior to meeting him, I went on there to remove my credit card information. And there he was in my inbox. And when I looked at him, his profile picture was nice. And I'm thinking, this is cool. Now, this is kind of funny. So when you're online dating, if you all have done it before, there's a lot of texting back and forth. Nobody really does the phone calls. So for the podcast listeners who are maybe on the first one, my husband has a very, very interesting lifestyle. He did time in federal prison. So when
that's why he won out.
There you go.
Yeah. He had the edge.
Right.
He had the edge.
But listen, so this is the funny part. Of course, you're on there and you're interacting with a lot of different men, but he's the only one that says, hey, can I call you? Like, can you give me your number? Can I call you? And I'm thinking, like, this is interesting because most people hide behind their cell phones. I didn't realize it. It was because he missed that whole era of text messaging. Like, he was still like on that whole BlackBerry kick where you could chirp and you could leave, like, you know, talk to people, like kind of like an intercom type deal. So I didn't realize it. It was because he had, but I met you. You had been home for 3 years already before I had met you. But when we got on the call, he wanted to know the books that I was reading. And what I did love, he never told me his background. He never told me his life. He got off the phone, and before we ended the conversation, he said, Google me. And then from there, I Googled him.
Ooh, stay mysterious, fellas. There's so many things going right in this right now, but go ahead.
I Googled him because he wanted me to make a decision after, but what I loved, he allowed me to find out who he was for those 5 to 6 hours. Then once he had already made the impression, then he said to Google him. And then when I Googled him, the news article came up and I saw everything that had transpired. The next day I talked to him. He said, did you Google me? I said, yeah, I did. He says, what do you think? Are you still interested in possibly meeting? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that you were, you know, you didn't, it wasn't that he was upfront that he told me, but he allowed me to make a decision. And so we maybe met and talked on the phone on a Monday, and then I did not get a chance to meet him in person until that Friday. And we've been together ever since, from that one conversation on the phone. So we've been together ever since.
Yeah.
First of all, when you talk game slick, you got to make sure you get on that phone.
Yeah.
So there's two things going on for me. Like, she right. She absolutely right when she said, you know, I wasn't in the text message era. When the text message era started, I was locked up.
Yeah.
Right. But the second thing, seriously, because of my makeup and how I am, I need to hear a person's voice. Right. When I need to have a conversation with you, man to man.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that'll fly here to Atlanta and look you in your face.
Yeah.
And we talk man to man.
Yeah.
Because I'm this type of person. I heard what you said by text message, but I need to hear what you say because I need to hear the spirit behind what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm testing the spirit by the spirit.
Yep.
It's the reason why I call. And so the second thing is also, when there is a reluctance of transparency, then that's an illustration that a person is not as free as they think they are.
Mm.
When I'm reluctant to be transparent, to be open, to let you see inside of me, then that means that I don't want you to see something because I'm afraid that if you see something that I don't want you to see, it may deter you.
Right.
So therefore, I'm so free. I'm so transparent that I'm telling her, hey, we've had a great 5-6 hour call. Chemistry seemed like it's on fire. But, you know, before you get into me and I get into you like that, why don't you see who I am? Why don't you see where I come from and see can you handle that? Let me give you an opportunity to see if you can handle that. Because I had been through something before this.
Yeah.
Like, met a girl before her. And we talking, same thing. And it's kind of like, I can't bring you home to my mama.
Nah.
Like, I'm like, okay, you got me. But I wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. I right. wasn't afraid to be transparent because I knew without a shadow of a doubt, oh, I'm going somewhere with you or without you.
First of all, thank y'all so much for sharing the love story.
Yeah. They love that.
Because
love
the people, that. The people, no, it is giving us hope. It's giving the whole chat hope. The chat is going crazy right now. Yeah.
They like, y'all holding out. Yeah. Y'all didn't tell them what the app was.
So. And I want to
let's open it up on a whole nother scale. Let's open it all the way up. Let's.
You ready for the phone call?
No, I'm saying as it pertains to, they like the love story.
Yeah.
Where I come from, where she come from.
Yeah, my lifestyle.
Yeah.
My background is totally opposite.
Yeah, just give them a little bit more.
So, well, I think, you know, briefly, his father was murdered when he was 4 years old. His mother dealt with a heavy drug addiction while he was a kid. My mother and father have been married for almost 46 years. My father has always been in the home. I am a daddy's girl. I'm extremely close with both of my parents. So our backgrounds were totally different. But when I talked with him, I knew that's why I don't like you asked the question about about people that don't believe in God. It was such a spiritual connection. I did not connect with him just in my mind and just with the thought of what it would be like when we met in person. We had a spirit to spirit conversation on the phone. I wish I could describe it better, but I got off that phone knowing that it was something totally different. But once I did find out his background, now this is me, and people may not want to say it, but I said it to him. I'm like, every man go to prison and then find Jesus and want to come out talking about God. So what? This is your story. It's nothing different about it. And that's where I had to go back and eat my words. The life that he lived before me, it was crazy in a good way. The way that he would pray, the way that he would, it would be times where I would be like, we're on the phone or I want to talk. And he'll be like, well, I got to call you back. And I'm like, what do you got to call me back for? Because I'm in the middle of this chapter of this book and I've got to finish reading it. It was just little things about his life where I was like, this man can teach me something. That was the missing piece for me.
Mm.
I don't want to sound cocky or arrogant, but I had never been with a man that could teach me anything. Leaving my father's house, my dad prepared me for life. I was well within my career. I was always the one that was trying to, if I'm dating or even when I was in my prior marriage, I was always the one, let's wake up and go to church or let's read or let's, I was always the one trying to bring a man up because I was up. And I really feel like my story is like a lot of women.
Oh,
you meet a lot of women where we've done the work and then we desire love and then we have to bring somebody up in order for it to work. He was the first man that could actually teach me something. And when he was able to teach me something, I'm like, Lord, I can submit to this man because I really trust that he could lead me and take me somewhere. Ooh. I had never been with a man. I mean, I'm being honest. I was at a place where I had dated men where I would still have to call my father to come over and handle stuff. The day I'm dating a man and you're in my life and I got to call my daddy, something wrong. So,
wow.
He was the first guy where I felt protected. I felt safe. I felt like he listened to me. I felt like he could lead me. I felt like he could take me somewhere. And those are the questions that I wonder for women. Can he lead you? Can he teach you something?
This is our saying. Can they challenge you?
Yeah.
Can they teach you? Do you trust them to lead you? Can she challenge you? Can she challenge you to go beyond where you think you should be? Because she sees something that is greater. Can she teach you? This was the first woman I ever met in my life that made me know I gotta be quiet and listen to what she got to say. And I'm saying, like, my lifestyle before meeting her, I'm saying before prison, I was a stone cold fool. You know, I felt like my mindset was, if you ain't got more money than me, don't talk. Like, I really set on that mindset. And so I didn't really, in that lifestyle, right, I'm not going to where God has me going today. So that don't really, really count. But still, when I came out a changed man, I didn't meet no woman that I knew without a shadow of a doubt. When she started talking, I got to be quiet. Can she teach you? And then the next question is, do you trust them to lead you? Because the truth of the matter is, yes, I am the head. I make the final decisions.
Yes.
But sometimes I got to pass the driver's wheel. I got to pass it over to her and I got to get in the passenger seat because the two becomes one. Sometimes, at some places, at some points, because of what's on her, what God got on her life and the wisdom and the skill set she flow in, I got to be comfortable enough as a man and confident enough to know that I'm passing the wheel over to my better half. And watch this. This is me too. But she's leading in this place and it does not take away from anything from me while she's leading.
And when he's passing me the wheel, if I get nervous when I'm in the driver's seat, he is so confident in who God has called him to be that there are some avenues where we are making decisions. And because of my background and in the finance world, that I will take the lead and I'll be trembling and scared all over just to be able to fall all the way back into him. It is priceless. That's the next question. Like, so many women, we don't have men, they don't have men they can fall back into. The men are having to fall back into them. And it's just, it's not fair. We are not designed to carry certain weights. And when you put a weight on me that God did not create for me to carry, it automatically comes in and it breaks our foundation. And so that's when disrespect comes in. That's when
dishonor.
That's dishonor. Resentment. So many women we talk to, it's not the fact that she doesn't love him anymore. She just resents him.
Yeah.
She resents him because this has just been too heavy. Being with you feels like a burden and it's just not fair. Funny example, just about growing each other, because I know you only got through two of them.
We hadn't even made it to the second one yet.
We on the first.
Well, no, you were saying that we are, this is a second ago, you were talking about the three reasons why we come together.
Did I say that?
Teach, yeah. Challenge.
Yeah. Can I challenge you?
Right.
Can I teach you? Do I trust you to lead?
Right.
Yeah.
So it was funny where this is like a really light occasion. So a light story. My first time meeting him, we have dinner reservations. I think we were meeting at 7 or 8 o'clock. Now, my background, when we say dinner reservations, we're going to like a nice restaurant. Now, granted, we live in Houston, Texas. It's really, really hot. But I told him we're going to dinner. He told me to pick the restaurant. We would meet there. Y'all, he walks into the restaurant with like a button-down shirt on and some shorts. And at that point, I am like, this is dinner time. Where is your blazer? Where is your slacks? Even in some jeans. But he walks in with the shorts on. But I did not discount him that in that moment. But later on, when we got deeper into the relationship, I'm like, hey, you know, if you're invited to dinner and it's at a certain restaurant, put your blazer on. Yeah. Like, you know, tighten up in that area.
She calling you up.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where it's funny, but now because he travels a lot and he does business, you better believe that when it's time to be in a certain situation or place, he's prepared and he's ready.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, yeah, again, y'all see what kind of episode this is. Look, we're going to be on here probably till about 2 a.m. because we're doing about one core value for every hour. So y'all ride it out. No. Listen, we gonna control the flow. Me and Ryan know when to let this thing go. What I want to do is I want to hold off on the initiation hotline real quick.
You do.
I want to hold off on it real quick. I want to get a little bit more of these core values out first, because it's gonna really give y'all context before we open up the phone lines. But just stay patient. We will open up the phone lines for the people. But what I need y'all to do before we keep going, y'all, it's almost 1,200 people up in this joint. We only got 531 likes. Share this message because we just getting started.
It's early too.
Share this with your people, and please hit the like button for the newer people in here and old people that still ain't liked, so we can spread this. That's how it spreads on YouTube and goes to more people.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, Ryan.
Well, because we got some super chats, but shout out to Lee Dave and Latrice Lyle. And I think that y'all know Latrice.
Yeah, we know Latrice.
Okay, really? Yeah. Okay, so you brought the whole crew. Latrice, she actually said, and Lee Dave, they both send this. Listen, I love y'all supporters.
Facts.
Because they done joined the membership and sending over the super chat.
Yeah.
So Latrice actually says, shout out to the pastors from TFCC Tribe.
Yeah.
She says, we love y'all, Pastor James and Pastor Tiffany. So
we love you too, Latrice.
I didn't know y'all was bringing a gang with y'all.
We don't roll by ourselves. We got a whole crew that comes with us.
Yo, shout out to Lee Dave. He said, Pastor James and Tiff, I love y'all. Can you please explain the difference between spirit and soul?
So, oh man, I really want to say, can we save all the super chats?
Okay.
Yeah, listen, can we save all, because listen, y'all, I really want to take y'all super chats, but I really want to get, because I already know what kind of show this is going to be. I really want to get y'all these core values as well. So yeah, hold okay. off.
We're going to save that one then.
Hold off real quick, because these super chats, they can flow on one of these super chats for another 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a lot of super chats. And then when Pastor Tiffany, you was talking about the experience that you had with the men that you were dating prior to meeting Pastor James, I think a lot of women resonated with that. Yeah. So I got some follow-up questions specifically about that.
Yes. So I want to get to the second core value real quick. Let's get to it.
Guess what? If it matters to me, it has to matter to you.
Yeah. Mm.
Core value number two. If it matters to her, it has to matter to me. If it matters to me, it has to matter to you.
Can I, just to help give a testimony about what this means, so I am a dog lover. Love, love, love dogs. My husband knows that. He's not a dog lover.
Mm.
We're driving one day and I see these two dogs on the side of the road and they are like kind of close to the curb. And I say to myself, oh God, I hope they don't come out into the street and get hit. We keep driving, go along with our day. We come back to the same area. One of the dogs that I saw earlier had gotten hit by a car and was laying in the middle of the street dead.
Okay.
Devastated, like, oh my God, James, I'm like, you gotta move his body, because if you don't move him, another car is gonna hit him and it's gonna be splattered across the road. That's me.
You crazy. That's moving me. A dead dog.
What matters to me mattered to him. You better believe he went and moved the dead dog's body out of the middle of the street and put it on the curb, because it mattered to me. You see how we laugh about that? But the fact that I married somebody that doesn't even like dogs, yet alone a dead dog, you can tell somebody you love them, but until you make love become a verb, it's just a word. In that moment, I realized my husband, he will go over and beyond for me. It made me want to go harder for us in our marriage. Something like that, that is just so simple that, well, not even simple, actually could be disgusting to some people. But he moved a dead dog's body for me out of the middle of the road because it bothered me that much.
It was all about the principle.
Yeah.
It's not about the action, because the principle comes from the heart.
Yeah.
The principle is what it is. But when I did it from the heart. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This is when you got to get out get out of yourself, and you got to lay selfishness to the side. If it matters to her, it got to find a way to matter to me. Why? Because the two have become one.
Right.
So what she likes, I got to find a way to like it.
Yeah.
Like,
or at least respect it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You may not even like it, but you can still honor the fact that one of my values is, I don't want to say core value, but I'm an animal lover. So he may not have to even like it. It may be something that he never develops, but because he honors me, because he respects me, because he sees that it really was going to get under my skin, he took the extra step to do it. You got more people in relationships that are so self-centered that it could be something just very simple. You don't like this restaurant, but she loves it because it matters to her. Make the sacrifice and go to the restaurant. It's just, marriage is not about me just fulfilling all of my needs, but it's literally looking at your spouse and saying, okay, it matters to them. I'm gonna make sure that even if I don't like it, if it never even fully matters to me, what matters to me is the heart behind it.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? To this day, I mean, I think you kind of, the dogs are okay. It's not really a thing, but
we got another dog. I love this dog. Okay. He was a puppy when we got him. But the principle of the matter of this value is this: when it matters to her, when what matters to her matters to me, it opens up the door for intimacy.
Mm.
Yes.
Right? Like, we can't go deeper if what matters to her don't matter to me.
That's a bar.
Because I'm closing myself off and she's closing. I'm like, she's trying to show me what really, really matters to her.
Right.
But I'm closing myself off because I'm like, man, please, man, I don't know about it. Man, that dog, man, stop it, man, grow up. And so it wasn't really for her to grow up. It was an opportunity for us to grow up together.
For you to grow up. That's good.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So the whole thing was, let me get out of myself. If the dog dead, but if it mean that much to you, let me go pull the dog off the side of the road.
I want to,
because that's what she want.
I want to add to this too, because you saying it does open up the door for intimacy. Absolutely. In y'all relationship.
Big deep game.
And the thing that's super deep game, because the thing about it is, if you close it off too much,
yeah,
now you potentially allow somebody else to have, yeah, that door open.
Yeah.
Who
somebody else now, came and got a dog.
Yes.
Somebody else picking that dog up out the role player.
Fast. I
that's
take
where
care,
intimacy
queen.
Lies. Yeah. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Yeah, because man, she will, man, she'll go hard for you. She will run up a tree and kill a cat for you if you just show her that you are concerned about what she like,
yeah,
what she want.
I want, yeah.
What she see. She'll go hard for you when all you got to do is just pay her some attention and meet the need.
And likewise, because it's just not one-sided.
Yeah.
It really matters to what matters to him. It literally it matters to me. I think about my spiritual journey. I have grown in leaps and bounds. And at first I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing this because I know, like, if he's reading a book or a spiritual book, maybe it's something that we can do together. I'm thinking of it that way, not even realizing that as I'm doing something because it matters to him, eventually it started affecting me and it started making me grow and making me become a better version of myself. I literally study my husband. I want to know the things that he likes. I want to know the things that make him get excited, the things that bring him joy, the things that bring him peace. So if it matters to him, I make sure to try to figure out those things so that it can matter to me.
So now, I see how that's, you know, vital when it comes to a marriage, or you just committed to some sort of long-term relationship. Yeah. But could that also be applicable to dating as well?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Because a lot of people will cut off the dating because we don't have enough in common.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking, when do you apply if it matters to her or if it matters to him, it matters to me? At what point?
What intentions are you dating? Like your intentions. So are you?
That's a good point.
Are you? I would think at some point, unless people are just casually dating.
Assuming we're dating for long-term interest.
Then absolutely. What mattered to me and that mattered to him, that just didn't come when we got married. I want to go ahead and remove this thought. What we're talking about are things that happened prior to us even dating. Mm-hmm. The dog happened while we were married, but long before that. Mm-hmm. Why would I say I do to a man? And something matters to me, and it doesn't matter to him. I think that when you are dating with true intentions, you got to start, because why do you think that once you become his wife, he's going to treat you better? That is the biggest lie. Why do you think once you become her husband, now all of a sudden she's going to see you as the king of the house? If you don't see these attributes beforehand, marriage just basically exposes you even more. Whatever annoyed you prior, it just gets magnified in marriage. Whatever they weren't doing prior, they may come over now because you have the title of a wife or a husband. But if the only way you're going to be good to me is because now I have a new title, that doesn't even make any sense to me. Mm. A lot of these things have to transition from dating over into marriage.
Yo, did you ever close out that poll?
No, actually, I forgot about that poll. Let me close out that poll real quick. So I asked guys, choose one. Which category do you most identify with? We have over 500 votes, 518, wow, 519 to be exact. And it looks like, I'm ending the poll right now, 62% of people say spiritual,
mm-hmm,
36% of people say religious, and only 1% non-believer.
So basically 62% saying this, I believe in God.
I think that's what that means.
I think that's what, and then the next one say, I don't want nothing to do with the church.
Yeah.
I think that's also what that means.
We can be real.
Yeah, I think that's what that means. Yeah,
because we've both been in that place.
I'm from the streets.
Yeah. Okay.
You
okay.
Got me? Okay. I'm serious. Is that
accurate? I want y'all to let me know. Is Pastor James' assessment of what those two things is that accurate?
Yeah. Mm. And so the last one is like, what was percentage of last?
Non-believer. I don't want to have nothing to do
How
with
How many percent?
Just 1%.
Just 1%. Got you. So yeah. So with that, like, you got people that say, I believe in God. So if you believe in God, this is where they're at. I'm trying to form a relationship with God and I'm trying to get there. They're basically saying, I'm with what you're saying and I'm trying to get there, God first.
Yeah.
They're trying to get there, so they pushing. So you don't try to get there by doing something every other day. You got to create consistent habits. Yeah. You got to be persistent in order to get there.
Yeah.
Right. And when you get there, then once you get there, then you know exactly what to look for. Why? Because you created the habits and the consistency to know what it takes so you can demand it from somebody else.
Honestly, man, I'm happy we put that poll out. That really gave me a better understanding of the audience.
Yeah. And they're saying, Pastor James, they're saying, yeah, you accurate. You accurate on that assessment.
Yeah, because I was there. Yeah, absolutely.
Likewise.
When I first came out of prison, I've been walking with God for real. And then I got introduced to the church. And I was like, what in the world going on? Got rejected, got hurt, got some stuff took place. And I was like, I don't want nothing to do with the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even realizing that what God had put me in me was called. He was calling me not to complain about what hurt me, but to create everything that I see according to him on how it's supposed to go. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of knew, like, I believe in God, but the next one is I don't want nothing to do with the church.
Yeah.
And so when you start talking about that, though, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Let me ask you this here before we actually get to the people on these phones. I want to get another core value in, because listen, first of all, if y'all getting these core values down, I want to see got it. All right, just put got it down if you're getting this game that they're putting down here, because
they request,
I'm really taking it in.
Rashida was like, third value, please.
Yes, right.
Rashida, here's your third value. Physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, rejection, and neglect are cancers to our covenant.
Right. Mm.
Certain things we don't say. Certain things we just don't do.
So that was physical abuse?
Physical abuse. I'm not putting my hands on you. You ain't putting your hands on me.
Don't even play like that.
Don't
even play like that.
I hope they wouldn't do nothing crazy like that.
Y'all would be so surprised at the level of toxicity that's on this live right now that's dealing with physical abuse, verbal abuse, psychological, mental abuse, rejection, and neglect in a relationship. Take a poll for that.
Now, what do you mean with rejection? Like with rejection?
Rejection, meaning I want to be accepted in certain areas or certain things, and you reject me. Like, example.
Sex?
Yeah.
That's definitely one.
You better know it.
Yeah, it's definitely one.
Or like you'll never be good at this or something.
So we in marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So this core value, we in marriage. Like sex, you can't reject sex, because if you reject sex, then I might start thinking something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And when I start thinking something wrong with me, I start looking down on me, and you're supposed to call me up.
Right.
Mm. Are you with me? So something got to be wrong. Right. If you reject something, you sick. Like, is it something you got to be communicating?
Right.
What's the problem? I'm serious. Like, oh, this is why we get married. This is one part of the reason why we get married.
Right.
So there's no greater
intimacy.
Yeah,
than
for
that.
Sure. God, he created sex.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. He ain't created for fornication. He ain't created for the world. He created for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, neglect. I cannot neglecting the need of the dog. Mm. Right? Neglecting her needs. Neglecting her needs to do whatever she need me to do. I can't neglect it, and I can't reject. She can't reject me. I can't neglect her.
Another thing, rejecting, maybe it's a he. Maybe if it's a woman, what if she has a really great opinion about something? Yeah. She has a really great idea about something. Every time I say something, because I'm a woman, I got to stay in a woman's place. I can't say anything. It's rejection making me feel like I'm not seen in the relationship, making me feel like I'm not wanted or I'm not appreciated. So rejection comes in many forms, and you would be surprised at how many wives can feel rejected by their husbands in marriage, or how many husbands can feel rejected by their wives. And that's sometimes which never given an excuse for it, but it opens the door for somebody to come in and to be able to cause a greater wedge in the relationship. Reject and neglect is major in marriage.
Can I give you one of the biggest forms of neglect that we deal with in marriages?
Give it to
right now. the man has fallen in love with his job, and he loves his job more than he loves his wife. Mm-hmm. He loves his job more than he loves his home.
He loves the idea of providing.
He loves the idea of setting a goal, reaching a goal, and providing for the family more than he loves the family.
Wow.
And he don't even see it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything is for his family.
Yeah, yeah.
But meanwhile, he's neglecting the
family. Absolutely.
It's the biggest trick in the world of the enemy. Right. And so just being honest with you, it's a deep, hidden, like a void on the inside of him that's telling him that if you don't achieve this, you are not who you say you are. You are nothing if you don't achieve this. So the drive for achievement, the drive to hit the goal, the drive to make the certain amount of money, it engulfs him. It just takes all the way over him, and he forget about the wife and the kids. He put them second or third.
And it becomes a cancer to the marriage.
Yeah. And what happens with that is the job becomes an idol.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Meaning the job or the money, the goal, achieving the goal is bigger than anything. It's bigger than God. It's bigger than my wife, bigger than my children. It's bigger than everything.
Yeah, I know how we came up with this core value in our relationship. My husband is he's out there, like social media. That's like his thing. He does like a prayer call in the morning. He's really into it. And so I'm the exact opposite. And so there was one particular time he gets up early in the mornings, maybe 6 or 7 o'clock. And there was a time where he would roll over, get out of the bed, and immediately go and start doing his prayer call. Well, I started feeling neglected and rejected in a way, because I'm thinking, like, here you are rolling out of the bed about to pray for people, and you haven't even acknowledged me this morning, and you're laying in the bed right next to me. When I brought that up, it was like a light bulb went off. And from this day, he never starts his day without making sure that he rolls over and kisses me and says good morning. And then we start. So it's little things like that where it may have started off, well, like, you know, y'all, you've been in the bed with him all night. You got to sit, roll over and say good morning. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a new day.
Absolutely. Yeah. That really matters in marriage. Wow. You can't neglect the one that you have signed up to be with forever. How dare you give your best parts of you, your first thought in the morning, of people that you don't even know before you give it to me?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.